amen. She didn't say, hi, Carol, I think she said, you're good.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else have anything they want to share, a testimony, something good that's happened to you? I got all kind of good stuff going on in my life. It's weird. I feel like Paul sometimes. I got stuff, like negative stuff hits me, and then, you know, we'll get then positive stuff. We got the good and the bad and the ugly. Yeah, I make a movie out of it. And anybody else have a praise? Anything going on? Man. There are people I know have great praises, and I'm very happy about that. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 8. I'm going to keep teaching us how to worship. I feel like I really want this church to be a worshiping church, and we're just going to have to keep pressing into it. When you come in, I want to encourage you, come in. Even if you, man, if you just had a fight with your wife or your husband in the parking lot, just throw it out the window and come in and worship the Lord. Come in and put your hands in the air and worship God, because we want to be a worshiping church. You know what happens when we worship the Lord? Who wants to take hazard a thought there? What happens when we worship the Lord? What are we doing, Jace? He's enthroned upon our praises, so we're inviting Him in. Okay, what else happens when we worship God? Anybody? Kev? Abby? Yeah. Everything pales in comparison. Your trials get smaller. God gets bigger. And the Word does say He inhabits the praises of His people. So we're inviting His presence. That's even good for home. One of the things that saves me all the time when negativity comes at me is to get along with God. And if I can worship Him, He just changes our mindsets. We're not stuck in our mindset. He'll change our perspective on things, and we just want to learn to worship God. Most importantly, as a congregation, we want to invite His presence into the house. Amen. That's when, you know, the Lord's the one that does healings. We cooperate with Him, but who does the healing? If we pray for somebody, who does the healing? Sure isn't me. The Lord does it, and He's enthroned upon our praises. We're inviting Him in. If we come in, we're thinking about dinner and thinking about whatever, then we're not enthroning Him in our life, and we're not inviting Him in. So we just want to keep pressing into worship. And I know everyone, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to preach on that, but I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was a Church of Christ kid, and I've taught before I didn't believe in it, and I got baptized in the Spirit. I went in this room, and they laid hands on me, and I've told my testimony before. And to my surprise, the real presence of God came on me. I started praying in tongues, which I didn't believe in. How do you like that? Didn't believe in it. Talk about a gift of God's grace. I didn't even believe in it. I was taught against it. I don't fault people that teach against it because they teach from ignorance. There's people that don't believe in Jesus. They teach against you. They do not believe in Jesus. They're teaching out of ignorance. Don't fault them. I want them to come to Christ. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've shared my testimony, that's when I quit smoking and drinking and all the wild things I was doing. God totally changed my life, and I prayed in the Spirit. But His power came in, and one of the things that happened, as a Church of Christ kid, I'm talking about worship because I want our church to learn to worship. As a Church of Christ kid, I don't know how they do it. This isn't for everybody. It's just the particular one that I went to. They're not all the same. I know that. So I'm not saying they're all that way. But no one ever raised their hands when they worship. There was one lady, I could probably say her name now. She's long gone to be with the Lord. But she had raised her hands, and she would even pray in tongues under her breath. I didn't know what she was doing. But everybody, I asked them about it because she'd be the only one doing it. You know what they told me? They told me she was crazy. That's what they told me. I said, really? I go, man, she's the only one that's really getting into it, you know. But I could sing Blessed Assurance with my whole heart, like, you know, because I loved Jesus as a young boy. I had a lot of things in my life that didn't belong there. But you sing Blessed Assurance, and I could throw my whole heart into it. But one of the things that happened when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, man, the next Sunday, Jace, I came into church, whoop, my hands went straight up. I never did that. I never did it. I'd be embarrassed to do it. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I came into church. I was just like everybody else. Hands went up, and I started praising God. In fact, I became one of the loudest. And at the church I went to at the time, we used to dance. I danced every Sunday in the aisle. I don't dance here because mostly just because no one's going to dance with me, probably. If the Lord gets on me good, I'll do it. But we got to bring you. Would you? Yes. Yes, sister. We said we weren't going to talk about that. That's where our demise hit. That very night. Remember that? That was at your wedding. That's we danced at your wedding. Not together. She danced with Gideon. I danced with Pam. But yeah, I used to dance every Sunday. We'd dance. I never did that until I got filled with the Spirit, and I found out the Lord likes it. But we don't do it much here. We go to this church up north somewhere sometimes, and if they break out in dancing, I'm liable to dance. You know, I'm liable to get in the aisle and dance. But I don't do it for your sake, because you're all going to think I'm crazy. What's wrong with Pastor Brad? But maybe the Lord will hit us one time and we'll do it. The important thing is we want to come in, all of us. And some of you, maybe you can't raise your hands right now. Some of you certainly can. But you can focus on the Lord and you can sing. And those were new songs, Jace. Excellent. Man, every one of that one about heaven coming down, they were so excellent. We want to worship the Lord. That's why we meet together. A lot of times we put the emphasis on the sermon. I don't believe the Lord does. We do, because that's tangible. And the Word is the meeting place between the Spirit and the natural, the Word. The Word comes in. Did you know that? The Word of God, you can hear the Word and read the Word. You can't see the Spirit or where the wind blows. So you can't, but the Spirit comes in, and the Bible talks about how He'll give you spiritual words, right? So the Word becomes a connection to the Spirit. Did you know that? Jesus is the Word. And the Bible says God is the Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. He came in the flesh, but he is the Word made flesh. Have you thought about that? The Word, when we're talking about faith, this will go right along with it. The Word made flesh. Do you know that Word is and was the Word of life? Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy men's life. I did not come to condemn men. I came to save men. They want him, you know, like Elijah, they want him to call fire out of heaven and destroy people. And he said, you do not know what spirit you are of. I did not come to destroy men. I came to save men. So you'll notice everywhere he went, he was doing good. Everywhere he went, the Bible says he was doing good. You'll never see Jesus doing anything bad. There is going to come a day, and the Old Testament's a little different. It was a different dispensation, a different covenant, a different time, a different situation. But everything that Jesus did was in fulfillment of the promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I don't know if it's verse 23, it's around there. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. He's the Word of life. He's not the Word of condemnation. He's not the Word of death. It's up to you to receive the Word of life, or you can continue in your sin. Jesus said that the Pharisees committed one sin that they would not believe on him. That was their sin. They rejected Jesus. They stayed with their religion. Their religion brought hatred and jealousy and compromise into their life, even murder into their life. They were so far from God, and they knew it, and they had the Prince of Life, the Word of Life, right there in front of them, and they rejected him. Everything he did was good. He wanted to bless you. He wants to bless people. He's still doing good. He's the Word of Life. So when God sent his Son, it wasn't a natural seed. It was a spiritual seed. It came from the Father. That seed went in to Mary. What type of seed was it? It's the Spirit, but it was the Word. That's what the Bible says. The Word went into Mary, and it produced Jesus. And so he came out. He was truly the God-man. He was 100% God, as we say, and he was 100% human, fully divine. He limited, the Bible says he gave up his rights and privileges as God. He had to. He was no longer omnipresent. God's omnipresent. He could be tempted. God can't be tempted. It's good stuff. You should know that. God can't be tempted. Jesus was. He was localized. He was no longer omnipresent. I don't think he knew everything. He had to sleep, right, as a man, and yet he was divine, fully God. He was born of the Father. He took on this human limitation for us, but everywhere he went, he was expressing the life of God. The 1 John says that he was the Word of life, and we saw him, we handled him, we touched him. We saw what he was like, and we want to share this Word of life with you. That is why so much why I'm such a word nerd or a word guy, because I know if I can get a word from God, everything's going to be okay. There is a word for your situation. There's a word for your, you know, some of you struggle to believe certain things. There is a word for your situation. There's a word for you. Sometimes that word's hold on, don't let go, don't give up. Sometimes that word is believe me. Sometimes that word is get up. Faith expresses itself in 100 different ways depending on where you're at. Told you when I had COVID, God told me, Brad, you got to start moving. I like to move it. I like to move. That's why he said, Brad, you got to move it. You got to get up. You got to put some motion to your face. Faith, why stand there and die? Why just lay there and die? Get up and move. Someone say amen. Amen. I like to move it. So I said, Lord, I'm going to do it. And I got up and started moving. That's all the faith I had. I had that much. I'm going to operate. Lord, what do you want to say to me? He said, move. I'm going to move, Lord. The Word is the Word of life. No matter where you're at, God has a word for you. It could be, it could be forgive. It could be let go. It could be hold on. It could be just believe. One of the great words, Larry, that's ringing in my heart over and over these days is, Brad, don't worry. Don't worry. Anybody ever heard that song by the Beach Boys? I feel it today. You know, don't worry, baby. Everything is going to be all right. You ever heard that? I would sing it, but my voice would crack. I sung it to Pam. Didn't we? We had the Beach Boys in our wedding, didn't we, Pam? I feel like God's been singing that to me. Don't worry, Brad. Everything is going to be all right. Don't worry. Worry does you no good. Trust me, everything is going to be all right. And he's cultivating thanksgiving in my life. He's cultivating faith. He's cultivating gratitude. I was telling her, have you ever heard your, or maybe it was Kelsey, you ever heard yourself complaining and you say to yourself, would you just shut up, Brad? I've done that. I've heard myself droning on. It's complaining or this isn't good, that's not good. And something in the back of my head saying, Brad, would you just shut up? I'm tired of hearing you. You ever get tired of hearing yourself? I do. I said, Brad, just be quiet. Have mercy on yourself and others. I want to be like Jesus. And so that's why I'm such a word nerd, because I believe in the Word. I want to meditate in the Word. I want to ponder on the Word. I want to hear from God. I want to know what God is speaking. I know if I can just get to my prayer closet, if I can just get to the Word, if God will just speak to me, if the Lord will just tell me, stand up, if the Lord will just tell me, put something in the offering, Brad. Yes, Lord, I'll trip over myself trying to put it in the offering. Brad, go witness to that person. Brad, get up. Brad, Lord, tell me to do something. Help me, Lord. Give me a commandment. I know if you speak to me, everything's going to be okay. Lord, speak to me. What do you want me to do? I told you when I was down several months and I had all these tasks. I had the festival here and I had the 5K and I had the talent show and I had like 2 weeks to put it together and I hadn't done anything for it because I was on my back. I got up and said, God, I'm going to fail. Say something to me. Literally in my prayer closet, God, say something to me. He said, you got to get up and get busy. So you got to move, Brad. He said, I want you to believe me, and everything I tell you to do, do it. I said, Lord, tell me to do something, and he did. Just like an automatic download from heaven, like a million miles an hour, like a computer tape, things just started hitting me. Bang, 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 do this. It was so fast. I got a book, and I couldn't even write down all the things he was telling me. Do you know God can download a revelation to you in a nanosecond that's 1,000 words? And you have to pray it out and think it out and speak it out. And God can put a whole revelation into you that quick. You got to pray it out. You got to say, Lord, what are you saying? It'll come to you. God doesn't need, you know, to read to you a whole story. He can just drop it into you. You can be reading the Word and the Lord can drop something in your spirit. Our adversary, the devil, which we've been talking about recently, his whole bag is to get you off the Word, get you off your faith, get you in discouragement, get you down. There were people that actually were lit on fire, they said, in Romans times, and they were lit on fire in the Colosseums, and they were actually worshiping and praising God while the fire was burning their bodies. They refused not to trust God. And that's every story in the Old Testament. That's Job, that's Daniel, that's David. It's all people that learn to connect with God and believe God. And Jesus is the word of life to you. Someone say amen. Amen. I got a word for you. God isn't giving you bad words. Now, you can ignore the Lord, but he's not giving you bad words. He wants to help you. He's reaching out his hand. He's sticking it out there. And sometimes you got to go through a battle. I've learned here recently, our emotions don't always go along with the word. Our feelings don't always go along with the word. I feel like I'm losing. I feel like I'm being tempted. I feel like things aren't going to work out. Wake up in the middle of the night. I feel like nothing's going to work. I feel like everything's going to fail. I feel like your feelings have nothing to do with what God is telling you. If we can believe God and trust him and connect with God, he'll eventually change your feeling, but it starts believing the Word of God, powered by the Spirit. It starts getting away with God. It starts respecting God, believing in the Lord, trusting him, praising him, and allowing that Word to move in us to change our life. Turn to John chapter 8. I think it's verse 34 we're going to start at. I want to be encouraging to you. What I've learned is this: in this walk of faith, what do we walk by the by? Faith. How do we connect to God's grace? Faith. Everything works by faith. That's the word. Without faith, what? You can't please God. You have to believe he is, but not only that he's going to reward you when you obey him. How do you obey God? By faith. That means he has said something to you. If you've been short-circuited, a lot of times it's because you're not listening to what he's telling you. Get back to what he told you to do. It's not something you can't do. The Bible says the word is near you. It's not far away. It's near you. God will never, in his grace, give you something to do that you can't do by his grace, ever. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Your burdens are the burdens that you're making, because God's promised you he won't give you something too hard. He said, I won't give you a temptation that you can't handle. Didn't he say that in 1 Corinthians 10? I won't even put a temptation in front of you that you can't handle. Come unto me, I'll make your burden light. It's heavy when you try to carry it by yourself. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on who? On the Lord. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about you. He cares about you. But you got to connect by faith. Got to believe God. I recently, my emotions were going here and there. And in the nakedness of my emotions, I made a decision. Lord, this here is the truth right here. Not that. Not this. Not that. My emotions are telling me one thing. The enemy's telling me something. Lord, right here. And I just set to believing God, speaking his word. What's wrong with speaking God's word? When did it ever get wrong to speak God's word? To believe God's word? When did it ever become wrong? I just began to speak God's word and stand on it. And it was a few hours later, all my emotions were, I didn't even know when it happened. When my emotions changed, I don't know the precise moment that the emotion changed and how I felt changed and the things that were coming on me, the temptations and things that were, they were just gone. And I noticed, Lord, what happened to it? I'm not experiencing this. He said, you believed me. I said, that's right, I did, didn't I? I did believe you, didn't I? Yeah. Our situation, our life will change when we believe the word, when we lock. It doesn't, a lot of us want this. I'm going to teach on it here. A lot of us want, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God once we feel it, once we our emotions tell us it's true. And God does give us signs. He does. And I've gotten signs from God before too. But sometimes we won't believe the word until we get a sign. And I respect that. I do, honestly. But, you know, God will say, here's your sign. Joshua chapter 1, right? He said, hey, I spoke to you. And he's gracious. He does give us signs sometimes. And I thank him for it. When we're struggling, he'll meet us right where we're at. But we want to believe God after, like when you pray for healing, the Bible says, believe what? That you receive it, and then what happens? Then you'll have it. You believe, you receive. And if you're struggling there, you just keep going back to the giver and connect with and snuggle. But you believe that you receive, then you have it. We want to experience the have it before we believe. We want to be, and look, this is a spiritual walk. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to believe God. Whatever His promise is to us, whatever He's speaking to us, we have to believe it first. Thomas, what was his nickname? Do you know, Riley, Thomas's nickname? Doubting Thomas. I bet he was kind of like Eeyore, you know? Jesus never appears to me. I was a good Christian. I followed Jesus for 3 years. He just died on a cross, left us here alone. Nothing good ever happens to me. Well, Jesus had mercy on Eeyore Thomas, and he walks up to him and he says, Thomas, look, here's your sign. Nail prints right here. Okay? Boom. And Thomas said what? My Lord and my God, and worship Jesus. Did Jesus commend him? No, he did not. He said, Thomas, you believe because you saw it. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. Isn't that amazing? Anybody here ever seen Jesus? Sometimes people get visions. I've never seen him. But we believe in him, don't we? That's what Peter said. Even though you don't see him, you believe him, and you have the reward of your faith. So, folks, when we're dealing with the Word of God, we believe first. So, Brother Brad, I'm struggling believing. There was a guy, and Jesus is so merciful, when he came to Jesus, he says, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. There are tools and things that God gives us to help us through our unbelief or to negotiate through our unbelief. What are they? You tell me. Let's talk. Let's do a little teaching. What are some of the tools that God has given the believer to help us through our unbelief? Because this guy says, Lord, I do believe, but I'm struggling with unbelief. Help my unbelief. Did Jesus help him? Yeah, he did. He said, get out of him, go, boom. In fact, the guy said, Lord, if you can do anything, please do it. Jesus said, if? He said, if I can do anything? Like, who are you talking to? I'm God in the flesh. What do you mean, if I can do anything? It's not me, it's you. If you can, he turned it on him. Did you know that? How many knew that? How many knew that? He turned it on him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to her that believes. He turned the wheels right on him. Go read it. I think it's in Mark 10 and Matthew 17, I believe. Turned it right on him. He says, you can believe. And then he cast the devil out, and the guy got it. Because Jesus, someone say, God is good. He is good. He loves you. He's not trying to get you to eke out faith, and he'll meet you right where you're at. He's not, you know, he does all the time. People say, well, Brad, should I go to the doctor? Yeah, you should go. You're asking me. Yeah, you should go. We're not saying that. God will meet. If you need to go, you should go to the doctor. I'm not saying that. If you're sick, go if you need to go. But God will meet you there. Someone say amen. Amen. But he don't need a doctor. Does he?
Nope.
No, but it's not wrong. If you got to go, go. He'll meet you right there. That's how Jesus is. He's good. He's not going to condemn you. But he don't need a doctor. He is the doctor. One of the tools that God has given us when we're struggling with unbelief, because does anybody here not ever struggle with unbelief or doubt? Okay, so praise and worship, which is connectivity. That's one thing. What else? What does he give? What tools does God give us? What is it? So our words, but they have to be faith words. So if we're struggling with our faith, what tools does God give us? The Word. Meditation in the Word. Yes. Meditation in the Word. What tools did these disciples, when they came to him and they said, hey, we can't cast this thing out. We tried. Did Jesus, there we go. Prayer and fasting. Jesus said, this kind doesn't come out unless you do some praying. Some translation leave the fasting out. I don't blame them. That's the hard part. I can pray, Lord, that fasting. It's Christmas time. Someone's giving me cookies, Lord. I got those orange cookies that, you know, Sister Kathy's giving me, Lord. I can't give those up. And I really believe the idea of fasting is to disconnect from the world, right? It also connects you to your helplessness. Has anybody ever failed a fast? A couple of us. Has anybody ever not tried one? No, fasting, it actually does, it does show you your helplessness. Every time I fast, I start thinking about those people that don't have food. I say, Lord, how do they do it? But he gave us prayer and fasting. That's one of the things I talk about in here is connecting with God, getting back in touch with God, seeking God. The Bible says, ask, seek, knock. Part of that is fasting. Some of it's prayer. And there are things you can do. I believe he's talking about giving up food here. But there are things you can do. Sometimes when you want something from God and you're struggling, you need to disconnect from Facebook. You need to shut the TV off and quit listening to, I say Walter Cronkite, but I'd lose half of you. That's the way it is. We need to disconnect. Sometimes we just got to shut things down. You know, Pam and I, every January, give up sugar. You know, I'm not saying it's a big deal, but you'd be amazed how something gets a hold of you. But sometimes we need to pull away and fast and get before God and pray. And the Lord will come to us and the Lord will speak to us and he'll speak his word in our heart again. Again, it's a part of the prioritizing. So prayer and fasting and the Word, the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. And actually, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So you can never go wrong to meditate and take in the Word. All right. John chapter 8. I'll go with verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you are really my students. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Think about that. Anybody here not feel free? Amen, brother. He's about ready to set you free, Dylan. Free from what? Bondage. Bondage. Do you know sin is bondage? I've had some wrestling matches here with temptation and sin. I've done things. And the thing that I realize with sin, all stripes, we always think of what? We always think of the fleshly sins, adultery, lust. All sin is bondage. Complaining is a sin. It's bondage to you. Ask your wife. Ask your husband. Sin is bondage. It binds you up. It makes you unhappy. If we know the truth, Jesus says the truth will set us free. He says, they answered him, hey, Abraham, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been a slave to anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Doesn't sound like Jesus wants us to sin, and does it? And I'll tell you why, and we'll keep here. I'll tell you why, because sin hurts you. And because it hurts you, it hurts God. Yeah, it hurts God. It's an offense to God, and that's probably the number one thing. But God loves you. It hurts you. Your anger, more than anybody. I have a good friend. His anger literally he's doing better now. He's actually doing better. But his anger had literally alienated him from every person he knew. Everybody. His high school friends, his ex-wife, just everybody alienating, lonely, because just angry constantly and on a constant rant. And he's not happy because he's angry. That anger, the things, oh, this is powerful, know this. This goes with lust too, by the way. That anger, the thing that you're angry about is not your sin. You need to listen to this. That lust that you have, that desire for that other person, that person is not your sin. The sin is in your heart. You'll want her, but then you'll want somebody else because the sin's in your heart. You'll look at this image, but then you got to look at another image because that lust is in your heart. That anger is in you and you express it because it's got a hold of you and it's wrapped you up into bondage. Your gossip, which makes you miserable, and everyone knows they can't say anything to you anymore because you gossip. God forbid that anybody here would say, well, Brother Brad, you've been gossiping to me about so-and-so. I hope that's not true. I hope I'm not gossiping about anybody. If I am, slap me in the face. Do me a favor. I mean it. Slap me. If I start gossiping, just be gentle, Jeff. Be gentle. That's one of our big struggles in elders' meetings because people have problems, and I'm getting off my point, but people have problems, and you got to kind of discuss because you want to help people. And I always say, man, there's a thin line between discussing people's problems and trying to help them. Sometimes the better part of valor is just to be quiet and pray. The bondage is always in your heart. Your anger is in your heart. Your unbelief is where? It's in your heart. Your doubt is in your heart. Your lying spirit is in your heart. Your lust is in your heart. Your name calling, you call people names, it's in your heart. Your blasphemy, Jesus even said in the book of Matthew, all those things come out of where? He said, you can eat whatever you want. Go have a pig. Go eat bacon. That's Jesus. He loves freedom. Go eat bacon. Go eat ham. Go eat turkey. He said, that stuff will not harm you because it'll go into your mouth. It'll come out the drought. He said, but whatever you put in your mind, whatever goes in your mouth, into your heart, that's what defiles you. That's what keeps you from the promises of God. That's what keeps you in unbelief. That's what keeps you locked up. That's what keeps people not liking to be around you. Either that or you're just too bright. You shine too bright and you're burning them because you're shining so bright. He says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am so grieved. And sometimes, because I want to help people. When you're showing answers and you're trying so much to help people, and they just take the word of God and they just throw it away. It's almost like they don't even hear it. Just like, shwoof. Take forgiveness. Talk about forgiveness. And the reason I want you to forgive, and I know you do forgive, but the reason I want you to forgive is I don't want you bound up with it. Just open the door to all type of evil in your life and disappointments when you don't forgive. I want you to be released from it. So I'm teaching you forgiveness so you let go. So you're free, not the other person. If you're in a relationship and someone has wronged you and you forgive them, God, just because you forgive them, you think God's still going to settle up with them? I mean, if they're a Christian, there's mercy and grace and things. But God is going to settle. The Bible says God's not mocked. Whatever a man or woman sows, they're going to reap it. We're supposed to be lovers where we don't want people to. I got family members sometimes that have done me wrong. And because they're my family, I love them so much, I don't want them to reap what they're sowing. So I pray like Stephen, say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We should be that way with every person that harms us or does wrong to us. We should be, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Didn't Jesus do that on the cross? That's the very nature and character of faith and God. There was a young lady, and I've talked about her before, in a local restaurant, and just God's grace, I come in there, and she started talking about this boyfriend that broke up with her, and she was hurt, and she had given herself to him physically, first time. And girls, this is why I talk the way I do sometimes about these things. One, it's against the word of God, and two, we harm ourselves in so many ways. But it was the first boy that she had ever had relationships with, and after a while, he just dumped her. And he had moved on, and he went to another girl. That ever happened to you? And he just moved on, and here she is with her heartache, the boy that she thought was going to love her forever, that was going to be hers alone, and he dumped her, and he went on to the next. And so she was telling me how much she loved him, how much she cared about him. And I said, I know, sweetheart, I know your heart's broke. I didn't judge that girl, no more than I would judge you. I'm interested in her heart. I'm interested in her pain. I'm interested in bringing Jesus into that situation because I know I've had my heart hurt and it ain't any fun. And so I'm starting to talk to her. I even went and gave her a book about love, and I'm talking to her about Jesus and how he loves her, and you know, he forgave her, and he wants to heal her. And then right in the middle of that conversation, it all flips, and she says, do you think he'll get what's coming to him? I looked at her and I said, I thought you said you loved him. Wait a minute, I thought you said you loved this boy. What do you mean? You want him to get what's coming? Yeah, I want him to feel like I do. I said, oh, honey, you struck out twice. Your freedom is forgiveness. That boy will bind you forever until you forgive him. He'll make a bitter person out of you until you forgive him. God has forgiven you for sleeping with him. If you just ask him to, he'll forgive you. He'll come into your heart. He'll wash your sin away. He'll forgive you. Shouldn't you forgive this boy? Yeah, he'll get his heart broken. He'll get his comeuppance sooner or later, but that's not for you. It's not for you to give it to him. It's not for you to initiate it. It's not for you to, God wants you to be free because you're a son or a daughter. Let it go. And, you know, I prayed for it. She's doing better. I saw her a few weeks later. She was still suffering. She's doing better. You know, sometimes, I don't know where she's at with forgiveness, but sometimes time starts working when you have a separation. We say we love, right? As long as God gets them. I know Christians, I got to get back to faith here. I know Christians that they talk about the world like they want the world to end so God will zap everybody. That's what they want. They want Jesus to come back so he judges everybody and zaps everybody. You know, that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. He wants them to repent. He gave Noah a word. And how long, Jeff, do you know how long it took Noah to build that ark? 100 years to build the ark, and that whole time Noah was preaching. God decided to judge those people, and 100 years Noah preached to them. And they didn't repent, and he had to one day shut the ark. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We should not want people to get what's coming to them. Did God give you what's coming to you? Thank God he doesn't give me. I'm a horrible person apart from Jesus. I mean, God's doing a work in me. I live better now. I shine a little better now. But you take Jesus out of Brad Kittle's mix and you let me live, I'd do just about anything. But the grace of God came down. I mean, I was a sinner, folks. The grace of God came down into my life and he saved me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. He called me son. He put a ring on my finger, and he started teaching me how to walk and live, and he put his hand on me. He even, this lowly, undeserving person, he gave me Pam as my wife. If you don't believe anything else, look how good to me he was there. I didn't deserve Pam. Pam, you didn't say amen, did you? Oh, okay. She could. She was a sweetheart. She didn't do all the things I did. The only time she ever drank in her life was when I gave it to her. I'm being too real there, ain't I? Because we're forgiven so much. We need to be forgiving because God has set us free. But you're not free if your heart is filled with judgment, your heart is filled with bitterness, your heart is filled with lust, whatever it fills. But Jesus, get this, the Bible says in Romans 8 that there's no condemnation. If you belong to Jesus, these spirits gang up on you and they try to beat you up. They try to bring you under their control. Satan will always try to bring you back into bondage. There's no condemnation in Jesus. I'm not bringing you condemnation at all. What I'm telling you is all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I see where I was wrong. I want to get this right. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go of bitterness. I'm going to get that lust out of my heart. I'm changing my direction. Lord, help me. And help my unbelief come into my situation. Lord, have mercy on me because I've lost my way, and he will forgive you instantly. And then we go to war, and the word says we guard our heart, and we don't let those things into our heart again. That's why sometimes we can't praise or don't even want to praise because we got so much in our heart, and our hearts aren't open. I really believe the Bible says, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen. It isn't that late. Surely it's not. Is it really? I didn't even get into Romans 6. Flip there and I'll finish. Romans 6. Guys, I'm going to finish. I promise. I didn't know I was going so long. I really didn't. It felt like I just started. That was my introduction. Some don't. I want to show you this. I'm thankful, Michelle or Christina, that you don't mind. This is how God sees you in Christ. This is what I stand on, Jace. This is what I chew on. This is what I stand on. I could read the whole thing. I'll start with verse 5. Romans 6. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection. For we know, someone say, I know, that my old man, my old self, my old person was crucified with him so the body of sin might be destroyed. That we should know, someone say, no longer slaves to unforgiveness. No longer slaves to lust. No longer slaves to bitterness. No longer slaves to lying. Those things that hurt me. I'm free. You can take it further. I won't. Because anyone who has died is freed from sin. Have you died with Christ? Have you died with Christ? That's the whole picture of baptism. That you're this old sinful self, exposed in the world, naked, got a little towel around you, and you're buried. What happens when you're buried? Are you alive or dead? Hopefully you're dead, right? You're buried, you're gone. This is the position God wants you to take. You're buried. And then all of a sudden, up comes a new person. You're a new person. You're a new creation. You're a brand new man. You're a brand new woman. You are something you never were before. God has forgiven all your sins. Every sin you ever committed or ever will commit is under the blood of Jesus. He treats you like a daughter. He treats you like a son. You're brand new, and God sends you on your way. He says, go rejoicing. I want to bless you. I want to teach you how to follow my son. I want to teach you how to be a disciple. And in verse 11, he exhorts the Romans. He says, therefore, he says, consider yourself, because of all the facts I've told you, that you're dead to sin and you're free from sin, he says, consider yourselves, reckon yourselves, view yourselves as dead to sin. Does that sound like a lot of work? Sounds like believing, doesn't it? That's what I've been talking about. Sounds like you're believing something. You're believing it, and that's how I got into this message. That's how I started. I'm saying, God, I feel tempted. I feel like I'm not making it. My emotions are telling me this. My emotions are pulling me here, but I'm going to believe this word, and I'm going to stand on this word, and I'm going to believe what you're telling me and start walking after the truth and see what happens. And what you'll see is the Red Seal part. what you'll see is what the Word of God says to be true is exactly the truth. You just have to want to walk in it. You say, Brother Brad, is it that simple? Yes. What if I stumble? You probably will. Has anybody? How many Christians here have never stumbled? Mike, I'm glad you have never stumbled. No. I knew what you were doing. Anybody want a new start today? I did this 2 weeks ago. Anybody need a fresh start today? Yeah, there's a bunch. I'm not going to give an altar call. We all. But if you are not saved and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to pray for everybody that wants a fresh start. We're going to do this again. But what I want to, just like I taught you how to worship, you can do that at home. I want to teach you, do it at home. When you yell at your husband or your husband, you yell at your wife or you, Father, the Bible says don't discipline your kids in anger, in wrath. You do it, you got to go tell your kids you're sorry and you got to start over. Husband, you say something to your wife you shouldn't say, you better go tell her you're sorry and start over. Because that's not who you are. That's not your identity. You may stumble, you may sin, but sin is no longer your master and it is no longer your identity. Your identity is Jesus. You may struggle with so much unbelief, so much confusion. You got to repent and get back in there and start walking again like a new person. I don't think there's any limit how far someone could go if they did that. Is there anybody here that's not right with God today and you want to pray and you want to give your life to the Lord? Anybody like that? No, you don't have to even bow your head or close your eyes, because anybody want to give their life to the Lord? I'll pray with you after service. I just want to see your hand. I'll come pray with you after service. Anybody want to give your life? I just want to give you a chance. Okay, now how many people want a fresh start again today? And you've seen a bunch of you raise your hands. I do too. So I want to pray for you. Here's my encouragement, okay? If you're in Christ, you're free. You're free from bondage. Either that or the Word of God is not true. You make your stand on it. It's a hill to die on. During the temptation, you stand up in it and say, no, I am not going to bend. I am not going to bow. I'm not giving in to bitterness. This is a big one for our generation. I am not giving in to fear. I am not giving in to anxiety. I'm not giving in to that person that is gossiping about me. I'm not giving in to hatred. I'm going to walk clean and free in God. Is that you? Someone say amen? So, Father, I pray for all of us. Fresh start, and we all need it all the time. You know, we don't need to run down to the altar every time. Sometimes we do, Lord. But, Father, I pray for all of us. We get this vision from the Word of God that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, who He is. Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him is because we're in Him. We can live and move and find our being in Him. We can when we believe. And Father, sometimes we need a little fasting and prayer. I pray you give us grace to do it. It's not a work where we're earning something, but it's a connection with you, Lord. I pray for everyone here, God, that will just condemnation right now. We repent and condemnation, Lord, just lifts off of us. And we realize, hey, we are new. We are loved by God. We are forgiven. We can get up and rise up and live this life if we simply believe. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, that's my introduction. I'll finish up next week. I cannot believe it is 12:20 and 12:19 and I apologize. Oh, you said not to. I don't apologize. I'm sorry. Yeah.